Accession number 20970, Reel 1.
Where were you born, please?
I was born in the city of Debrecen, which is in northeast Hungary.
Which year was this?
1932.
Did both your mother and father come from Debrecen?
Yes.
What did your father do for a living?
Oh, my father's life history is more interesting than mine. He was a brilliant man who could not complete a university education because he was a prominent socialist. He became a clerk, and later on he rose to being the director of the cooperative movement in Debrecen. Then as the regime shifted towards the left, he lost his job, and throughout my childhood he was drifting in and out of jobs because he was, as I said, a prominent socialist, and that was inconsistent with the political regimes.
As the regime shifted towards the right?
I mean towards the right, I'm sorry.
And do you remember anything about your pre-war childhood?
Oh yes, I remember vivid details. I was 3 and a half when my parents went to live in Budapest, where they hoped my father would be less known and more employable. He worked as an accountant whenever he could find a job, which wasn't always. My mother, who was a sheltered middle-class girl, very young, she was 19 when she married and 20 when I was born. She was also trained as a pianist, but never practiced as that. Well, she became manager of a shop. It was one of a chain of food shops. And she turned out finally to be the sole breadwinner of a family, comprising herself and her two sisters and their husbands, and the child of one of her sisters and myself. The men in the family were all professionals. My aunt's husbands, one of them was a civil engineer and the other was a lawyer, and my father was an accountant. And they all lost their jobs as the anti-Jewish laws came to be established in Budapest, in Hungary. They were ultimately taken to forced labor camps, and so my mother was the one person earning a living. One of her younger sisters nursed a baby, another of her sisters went to the Academy of Music, and my mother was the sole supporter of the family.
What do you remember about relations between Jewish and non-Jewish children and adults before the war?
I remember vividly anti-Jewish propaganda on walls, posters, newspapers. I recall no personal assault to myself prior to the war, but that is because we lived in the, if you like, intellectual part of Budapest, where there were a lot of Jewish professors, doctors, even earlier on members of parliament living. And the school where I went, about the half of the girls were Jewish, and the atmosphere was therefore not typical of this dominantly Christian country. So I don't remember personal abuse before the war, plenty after and during.
Do you remember what your address was in Budapest?
Oh, very much, yes, very easily. We lived in a major street, one of the major thoroughfares of the city, very near the Opera House and very near the Houses of Parliament. And I went to school also in the immediate vicinity.
Did you have a religious or a non-religious upbringing?
I would say almost entirely non-religious. There was a certain amount of of religious education, which was built into the curriculum. And I'm afraid I always found it boring. It never really captured my imagination. I still feel similarly to the way I felt then, that religion, as I observe it, is too much ritual and too little moral and spiritual support for the individual. And I don't like ritual now. I detested ritual as a child.
Were your parents anti-religious or just indifferent?
I would say my parents were so convinced in their ideology as cosmopolitan socialists that there wasn't really very much space in their makeup for religion. It didn't feature.
What about your Second World War memories? Could we go through those step by step, please?
Yes. First of all, I remember how my father and my uncles were hoping for fierce weather and snowfall, because then 5 o'clock in the morning they could line up in front of the council's offices hoping to be able to gain employment as shoveling the snow from the streets of the city, which was one of their sole way of earning money. And the other way in which they could earn money was illegally. They took on jobs in their own profession for a pittance because they could not formally be employed. So I remember, for example, my uncle, who was a civil engineer, working over a period of a week without sleep, dozing a couple of hours a night because there was an urgent job that he was taken on to complete by a civil engineering firm, and was paid nearly nothing, but at least he could get some money in this way. I remember my aunt, whose son now is a world-renowned musician. My aunt herself was a gifted musician, but she could not graduate from the academy because she was Jewish, and degrees could not be awarded to Jews. I remember that my father, who trusted me beyond my years to behave in a mature way, my father confided in me that we need to have news about the events in the world which were more reliable than the politically controlled local newspapers, and we had to listen to the radio, and that I must not say to anybody that we were listening to the BBC broadcasts. There was a broadcaster who spoke Hungarian by the name of McCarthy, and McCartney, I think, and I recall even now his voice, and we sometimes huddled together, and I was allowed to take part in this just to hear a few words of news about how the war was progressing.
Did it seem to be accurate?
We assumed that it was precise, because we had to believe in something. I had no way of checking whether it was, but I have no reason to disbelieve the World Service, and I must say I'm a bad sleeper, and most nights I listen to the World Service now, and I feel similar affection towards this program now to the one I felt when I was a child.
Would they also give bad news from the Allied point of view?
Oh, yes.
Did you listen to any other programs apart from news?
Music is a very important element in my family's cultural makeup. We never had, I think, while I was a child, enough money to go to theatres. We did, though, and I say we, my mother had a season ticket to the opera, and I myself often went with her or instead of her. I was almost like a mascot. They knew me in the opera house and allowed me to go in and listen. And we listened to the radio music program almost all the time. I'd never been to a concert in my life until I became an adult, and I'd never been to the theater either, because there wasn't money, and whatever there was had to be husbanded for the most important person purpose, which was to listen to opera.
Did you experience any bombing?
No. By the time the bombing stage would have occurred in Hungary, we were deported and went to a concentration camp. This was quite dramatic. You would know the event of the 19th March 1944, when Germans occupied Hungary. I recall the events in great detail. Perhaps I should tell you before I get there, perhaps I should tell you something about my schooling, because this is relevant. I went to a primary school, like I told you, very near to my house, which was attended by a number of Jewish children. And when I was a very good pupil, I did very well at schoolwork, and I was known to be the top of the class. And I was told that there was a chance of me continuing into secondary school, grammar school it was, from the age of 11. The school was in the same building as the primary school was, where I had been, and that there would be only room for one Jewish child in the secondary school. But by the time I finished my primary schooling, they decided that not even one Jewish child would be admitted. And so there was I, age 10, with my shiny school report, full of top marks, unable to go to any school. And various influences were exerted, and my case was put before the Jewish authorities, and the one Jewish girl school, which still operated in Budapest, which was overfilled to the brim, gave me one place where I started my secondary schooling. Our classroom was in what had been the kitchen. The door had been taken off, and the desks for the children were from wall to wall, so we had to go to our places climbing over the desks of all the others, because so few were the places. One of the mistresses, in fact, recently died, not very far from here, and I confirmed with her a few years ago that my memories were quite correct. I could picture in my mind the whole geography of the school where I was. And I started the school in September 1943. This was the secondary, Jewish secondary school. And I soon became friendly with two other girls, one of whom died during the war, was killed, shot into the River Danube by the Germans. And the other survived, and we went to university together, and continued to be my friend. She now lives in Switzerland. Now, we had occasional Saturday afternoon tea parties in each other's houses. And so this was a tea party where we were expecting the other two to turn up. One of them did and the other didn't. And that was because of the influx of the Germans. My mother's sisters, by then, lived with my grandmother in Debrecen, because their husbands were away. I told you about their circumstances. My father happened to be on a short sick leave at home from the forced labor camps. And when the Germans came, my mother said the family has to be together. And within 6 or 7 hours of us becoming aware of the event of the Germans arriving, we were on a train to Debrecen to join our grandmother and my grandmother and my mother's sisters. It was just about the last train on which Jewish people could still travel. And we left behind my home and its contents. What remained of this is another story, and I don't know whether there will be time for you. You might be interested in this. There was a dour and fierce concierge in the block of flats where I lived. We were afraid of him. He was a smileless, rigid person who disliked children and spoke few words to anyone. And after the war, we discovered to our utter amazement that he saved whatever he could of our possessions. And he was an underground communist. And his attitude must have been to do with his personality, but also it might have been something to do with his political affiliations. His daughter became a minister of state soon after the war. He himself died during the war. So some of our possessions were miraculously saved by the concierge.
Can we mention his name?
Haidu was his surname. It was an interesting house. There were a number of Jewish people, including a chess grandmaster living in the house and an opera singer living in the house and so on. And so was next door to us a tailor who had two important characteristics. One, he had a little girl who would have liked to be my friend, but the parents held her back, and this was clearly anti-Semitic, that she was not meant to be playing with me. The other, that the man beat his wife. And the third, that we later on discovered some of our possessions with them, but we were never in a position to try to reclaim these, and it didn't really matter. Things don't matter to me very much. I'm not attached to possessions. This has to do, I'm sure, with the things that happened to me. Anyhow, so there we were. We were on the train to Debrecen. Soon after we arrived in Debrecen, the city was divided into the small walled part, which was the ghetto, and the wall was erected for the purpose. And the rest of the city, from where the Jews had been evacuated into the ghetto. It so happens that my grandmother lived in a place which was on the territory that was designated to be the ghetto. At least one of my grandmothers did. The other lived in another part of the city, and she, together with lots of other relatives, they all came, and in my grandmother's two-roomed flat, there must have been, I would imagine, 25 of us living for the period while the Debrecen ghetto stood. I remember interesting things there, that the Jewish boys' grammar school was also on the territory that became the ghetto, and they allowed me to go there. So for the brief time, a few weeks, while the ghetto regime was maintained, I went to the boys' grammar school. And Then there's other things I recall vividly. We had to wear yellow stars. And the yellow stars, there was a sample of these posted everywhere throughout the ghetto. We had to make these yellow stars, and I became one of the sources of the yellow star design. This was because these are hexagons, and I happen to know how you create hexagons using a compass, so I rather enjoyed the job of being one of the ghetto's craftsmen of yellow star manufacturers. There was no particular hardship in the ghetto. Although there was no food supplied, the households were sufficiently well equipped, so there was enough to eat. And there was a sense of community. And even, like I told you, there was schooling. One of my most vivid memories was one day walking between the short distance between my grandmother's house and the school. There was this superb playing of Bach's Italian Concerto from one of the open windows. And later I realized that this was a pianist. She made a good career for herself after the war. She survived and became a good pianist. Well, then came... There's something else I want to tell you about Debrecen, and that would be of interest perhaps. Hungary is dominantly Catholic. I don't know the statistics, but 90% of the population is Catholic. And Debrecen is an unusual place. It's almost entirely Protestant. And the Protestant Archbishop's seat is the city of Debrecen. The historical reason, the background, why there should be such a pocket of Protestantism, I don't know. But the culture of the city is different from the rest. There would be Protestant boarding schools where people would send their children from the country over. There would be a different way of speaking, a different way of thinking. One would have thought that there would have been, I expected that there might have been, more tolerance towards a minority like the Jews by a minority like the Protestants. But when it came to actually the behavior of the crowd as we were driven through the city out of the ghetto to ultimately to the concentration camp, they would have seen no sympathy at all. There was glee, there was jeering. And that was one of my great disappointments. If I have any feeling of local patriotism towards any place, if I would have had, it would have been towards Debrecen. It was my city of birth. It was the place where my parents were brought up, where my adored grandmother lived, where I spent every happy childhood summer. And I would have... expected some show of sympathy towards the Jews of the city, but there was none. In fact, the reverse. Anyhow, the ghetto was evacuated into the brick factory. This was a useful construction. These would be huts with roofs, but no side walls. They were the places where the bricks were to be dried. And well, that is where they made a camp for us. I remember something strongly and vividly, except that I tried to confirm this subsequently with adults. I was at that time 11, and I since tried to confirm my memory's correctness. And the adults don't remember what I'm about to tell you. Ours was a large family, and we all huddled together in the same hut, supporting each other in any way we could. And one of the people among us, members of our family, was a beautiful lady, an artist, a designer of handmade China ornaments. We even have in our possession a piece of her work, and I shall show you, to be able to appreciate the quality of her work. And she was famous, locally, nationally even. And her husband, who was a solicitor, very well-to-do, was by that time in one of the forced labor camps in the Ukraine, and he never returned. They had a little son who was 6 at the time. Lovely, we adored him. Ilona was the mother's name. And on one day, she came to my father, who was the only man in the whole family. I told you he accidentally happened to have been with us because he was on sick leave and he was clamped in the ghetto. He could never return to his camp. So throughout the war, he was with us. He survived the war, just. Anyhow, he came to my father saying, I have a tremendous dilemma. I want your help. How am I to resolve this? I was given the opportunity to pay a capitation fee for myself and for my son, against which they would take us to Switzerland. I can pay this, but I can't pay any more because I haven't enough to pay for all the rest of the family. And I don't want to abandon the family. I would like to be with the family. What am I to do? And my father said, you must not break your heart over the rest of the family. Your responsibility is towards your child. And if you feel that this would be a way of you saving yourselves, then you have to do whatever you can, and we shall love you, and we shall always think of you and hope that you will do well. Well, she did pay the money, and she and her son were the only ones who were taken to Auschwitz and died. The rest of us survived. Now, I interpreted it then to be a cynical trickery to extract as much money as they could from the well-to-do sector of the community. My own family were comfortable. We were not wealthy, but she was. And she paid heavily, and so did a number of others who could. And that was transport number one, and nobody that I know returned. Some people might have done, but I know no one who returned. Now, the rest of us, the story of the rest of us is well documented by a Hungarian historian whose book we have on the shelf. The Jews of Debrecen and Szeged were the majority of the Jews, were taken to holding camps pending some negotiation, as we understood decades later, of exchanging Jews for transport vehicles for the German army, who by that time realized that they were on the losing trend. They took something like 20,000 Jews from Hungary and put them in these holding camps in case the negotiations should be concluded favorably, and then I understood the tariff to be 300 Jews for a lorry. These negotiations were not, didn't lead to a satisfactory conclusion. So the lorries were not supplied and the Jews were exterminated. They were taken to Theresienstadt and systematically killed. We ourselves, I shall come to it a little bit later, just survived, only just survived. Daily transports were taken.